WCE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
Facing growing doubts at home about the wisdom of attacking Iraq, President George W. Bush on Wednesday will launch a campaign to defend the U.S. invasion and cite progress being made even as U.S. troops face daily lethal attacks. The attempt to spin the Iraq debate comes as Bush's approval ratings are in a free fall over the White House security breach, or Leakgate investigation, coupled with the failure to find any weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. The campaign will begin with a Chicago speech by Condoleezza Rice and continue on Wednesday in speeches by Bush in New Hampshire and Kentucky. On Friday, Dick Cheney will deliver a speech in Washington. This campaign coincides with the six-month anniversary of the fall of Iraq, a time frame marked by daily guerrilla attacks on U.S. forces and the hundreds of deaths and thousands of casualties since the occupation. The U.S. military has been unable to locate a large number of shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles that were part of Saddam Hussein's arsenal, compounding security risk for airports and airlines in Iraq and around the world. The lack of accounting for the missiles is the primary reason occupation authorities have not yet reopened Baghdad International Airport to commercial traffic. The terminal has been rebuilt and the runways repaired, and Australian soldiers are running the air traffic control system. But according to senior officials, portable missiles were fired at incoming planes several times in recent weeks. Most of those incidents have not been reported to the public. Californians banished Governor Gray Davis just 11 months into his second term and elected Arnold Schwarzenegger to replace him Tuesday. Hundreds of supporters streamed into the ballroom of the Century Plaza Hotel to cheer the immigrant bodybuilder-turned-actor as he took the prize in what he once called his master plan. 35 years ago in Santa Monica, California, Mr. Schwarzenegger disclosed to his friends what he called his master plan: become a movie star, make millions of dollars, marry a famous wife, and hold political power over people. Mr. Schwarzenegger's handlers said they would take him out of the public eye for a few days to allow accusations of sexual misconduct to cool. The on-again, off-again, no-call list is now on again. A federal appeals court let the Federal Trade Commission enforce its do-not-call program against telemarketers yesterday. The appeals court ruling frees the commission to fine telemarketers up to $11,000 for each violation. The national no-call list has registered more than 51 million phone numbers.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
A British scientist has calculated the optimum thickness for a slice of cheese to make the perfect cheese sandwich. In a bite-sized sandwich, a slice of cheddar needs to be at least 2.8 millimeters thick. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
We're told that the beauty of America's political system is that we, the people, have the right to vote. Yes, but do we have the right to have our votes properly counted? In the old days, corrupt political bosses would sometimes stuff the ballot box or even steal the box. In today's modern computerized age, however, such thievery can be done by sophisticated software manipulation without anyone even touching the ballot boxes. Indeed, most states no longer have ballot boxes at all, having replaced them with touchscreen technology that, they promise, digitally records our votes in cyberspace. Swell. Except, how do we know that our digital votes on these computers actually are recorded in real space? There's growing evidence that not only can these machines be manipulated by hackers or unscrupulous sellers of the machines, but that such corruption of our votes already is taking place. In Georgia, for example, 22,000 touchscreen machines had to get emergency fixes in 2002 because a Rob Georgia software bug was found on the seller's site. The computer providers, however, refuse to let election officials examine their computer codes, claiming that the codes are proprietary trade secrets. Trust us, they say. No, I say. One reason we shouldn't trust them is that the two largest sellers of the machines also happen to be major campaign donors to George Bush's Republican Party. In Ohio, for example, the CEO of Diebold, a major seller, sent out a fundraising letter asking for $10,000 donations to Bush's re-election bid just one day prior to getting his touchscreen computers approved for use in Ohio. This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop electronic vote theft, support H.R. 2239, requiring a paper audit of all electronic votes. For info, call Representative Rush Holt, 202-225-5801.
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. The program is produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Phone number 800-TALK-YES. And you can, if you choose to, email during the program, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. Several of you sent me emails about Bill O'Reilly's little nerve out on today's Fresh Air on NPR with Terry Gross. We have some sound from that. This guy is really going over the edge. I don't know. You've got Limbaugh is a pill addict. O'Reilly is on the verge of a paranoid nervous breakdown. Bill Bennett is a gambling addict. George Bush is a liar. Rumsfeld is on his way out. Condoleezza Rice couldn't find her ass with both hands. And that's saying something. It just goes on and on. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is a massive groper. Woo! Are all conservatives insane? You have to be nuts to be a conservative, right? It is a requirement. We will have the audio for you on Bill O'Reilly and Terry Gross in just a few minutes. You've got to hear this. Some of you already have. Some emails first about what happened in the election last night in California. Marcia writes, and every time I think it can't get any worse, it does. I couldn't believe that California would actually fall for this BS. Good God. And now I'm terrified that I'll be experiencing the same sinking feeling next November. I know we all talk about leaving the country, but you know what? I don't want to leave. This is my freaking country, and I want it back. I'll stay, or I'd say keep up the good work as I usually do, but right now I don't think it's going to make one bit of difference. We are so screwed, Marcia writes. Well, not really, Marcia. The worm is turning. Maybe. We'll see. From Jim. Mike, I figured out how to solve your mental block or whatever it is that's keeping you from doing a decent Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation. Just repeat after me. The people of California want me to be governor, and I will do that. Still Boris Karloff. Thanks, Jim. Nice try. From Nancy in East Tennessee, I knew it would happen. I knew they would elect Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's like when you know someone's going to die, but when it happens, you're shocked. my God, this is such a national embarrassment. I can't take much more of this. I know when the microphone is off, Chris Matthews is begging Arnold to grope him. And he is far from alone. The media, all those bastards, elected another moron for the fascists running this country. How can anyone be so stupid as to believe that Arnold should have been elected governor? I look at this man, and worse, listen to him, and I wonder if he's not a Hitler pure race experiment that's gone really, really badly. Every day I become, you know, that's a good point. Every day I become a little more embarrassed to be an American. I hate these bastards for doing this to me and to my country. Nancy in East Tennessee. Yeah, I don't know what you're saying. And our bureau chief in Aurora, Marianne, in the context of a larger email, which I won't go into, but she says, the California Democrats lost. Why didn't they print a million copies of Greg Palast's article on the Ken Lay Arnold meeting and blast the fact that $9 billion owed to the state would now be blocked with Arnold's election? Screw that. The Californians will get what they deserve. And the Republicans, and let the Republicans show them the path to Argentina. I'm not sure I get that. What does she mean there? Oh, well. Oh, the boys in Brazil. No, that's Brazil. Argentina. Argentina is not a major city in Brazil. And I caught Kathy in a mistake. Ah! And let the Republicans show them the path to Argentina. They need the lesson. Maybe they can be, maybe this election will be a cautionary tale for the rest of the country. All right, some of your email views here. There is the impression also, I'm sure you all have been picking up on this, that Arnold's election is a bad omen for incumbents everywhere, including the moron in the White House. The Australian today, the newspaper, said that prominent pollster John Zogby believes the discontent in California is a sign that the so-called angry voter is returning to U.S. politics after a seven-year break. That could be. We had nothing to be angry about during the Clinton years. We were at peace, more or less. We were in the midst of the largest economic expansion in the history of this republic, and we just didn't like that, you know. We had 8 years was enough of it, so we decided, no, let's elect an incompetent so that we can have two wars going at once that will never end, and a trashing of the economy, a trashing of the environment, a destruction of everything. God, how did we do that? Oh, well, we did it. Anyway, Zogby says that what happened in California is a sign that the so-called angry voter is returning. And obviously, that's a danger for anyone in power, including too stupid to be president. Zogby argues voters are no longer quiescent now that the economic boon is over. Duh. And unemployment remains high. You left out one thing, Zogby. Plus, the rich keep getting richer at the expense of most of the rest of us. Zogby says California is now the bellwether. People are demanding governments do something about their problems. Well, Republicans will continue to tell Americans that that's not the function of government. The function of government is, I don't know what, to defend the national borders or some such bat squeeze. God, have I mentioned yet how much I hate Republicans? Huh? I have? Okay. Now, Schwarzenegger, not much of Schwarzenegger, bear with me. Schwarzenegger, Howard Fineman, writing for Newsweek, said Schwarzenegger's grope-a-dope. Do you like that? Grope-a-dope strategy. The modern version of what they used to call in the Nixon days a modified limited hangout. Remember that? His grope-a-dope strategy now is going to cost him nothing but problems because, remember, all those allegations of sexual misconduct resulted in Arnie saying that he promised a full accounting after Election Day. I will tell you all that happened after the election. Okay, guess what? Almost said numbnuts. Guess what, Arnold? It's after the election day. It's your turn, Bubala. Also, you know, it's very interesting. This is the first governor whom we've all had a chance to see thanks to Al Gore's internet, a full nude photograph of everything. There's nothing left. I wish I could describe in anatomical detail all the different parts of the body. You could do that, couldn't you, Kathy, since you're a nurse? But well, almost a nurse. But I can't do it. I have to say things like, well, there's his kneecaps, there's his rib cage, there's his wee-wee. You know, I can't. But he's. I can you think of any other governor? How about Sonny Perdue here in Georgia? Why don't they get a picture of naked Sonny Perdue and put it on the internet? The only other person who is in the public eye to this extent that I can think of that's had the crotch shots put out there for everyone to admire or gag over is Dr. Laura. Huh? So anyway, Arnie has said that he's going to give a full accounting after Election Day about all of this. There's a lot of stats coming out of this election that political scientists and pollsters are going to be poring over for weeks to come. This has been a goldmine of statistics. One of the more frightening to me was the fact that, what was it? Was it 41 or 46% of white women who voted for Schwarzenegger? Now, I don't know what that says. 71% of blacks, by the way, across the board, male, female, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, 71% of blacks who voted in this voted against the idea of recall. So once again, Americans of African descent, in some sort of weird collective wisdom, you know, try to say to white America, what is wrong with you people? Jesus, what is wrong with you? The largest number voting for Arnold were white males between the ages of, what was it, Kathy, 19 and 43 or something like that? Or was it 23 and 43? Which historically in this country, and I know I used to be in that age group, it is the stupidest block of voters that exists. White males in that 20. Now I'm speaking in general terms. If you're in that age group and you're white and you're male, you know, don't call me up and you know, bitch and moan and complain and say I'm not like that. I know you're not like that, or you wouldn't be listening to this program. But that block of consumers, whether they listen to radio, they're the ones who keep the pig man on the air. They're the ones that keep thugs like O'Reilly on Fox. They're the ones that keep Fox broadcasting. They're the ones that put Arnold Schwarzenegger and George Bush in office. What a damn shame. But anyway, the female vote, white women, what does that say? Does that say that these white women see absolutely nothing wrong with a sexual predator? Or does it say that his sexual predation takes a back seat to what? A dullard like Gray Davis? These people don't give a damn if California is anywhere from $8 to $20 billion in the red. Why could they? You know, what's going to really upset them is when Schwarzenegger or anybody starts cutting essential services even further in the state of California. That's what's going to upset them. But I am intrigued that 40-plus percent of white women who voted in this ridiculous-ass election voted in favor of a sexual predator. And beyond that, according to news reports I've seen today, these very same women blamed the LA Times and the news media for trying to sink his candidacy by reporting on what this filthy groper did. Again, it's hate the messenger. To hell with the message. Jesus, this is like Jews voting for Hitler, isn't it? Or Jews voting for Buchanan. Wait a minute, that happened. It's astonishing. I wish I had some sort of polling organization where I could call white women in California and say, you got to be kidding. Aren't you kidding? Are you not kidding? Please tell me you're kidding. By the way, the Democratic recall campaign against Schwarzenegger could begin immediately.
Don't break my love upon no shit. your hands to yourself.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Tom Hartman Show.
Ta-da! We have caught somebody doing something right. Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the first, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Quail.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
To the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Regarding scorn now, in which media is held, contempt and scorn in California by people who who polled. Where did I see this? On CNN or MSNBC? One of the two. I think CNN. But the polling was done today post Schwarzenegger victory shows that the people are those polled anyway. I guess this is a snapshot. Who knows? But people are sick of the media and rank the media somewhere just a step or two below those people who work at animal shelters and execute the little doggies and kitties. You know what I'm saying? Really in low esteem. On the one hand, we have to be concerned about that, I think, because it means that we do not trust our media, or we don't like our media, not like, but trust our media to deliver the facts to us. On the other hand, this has been a long time building, hasn't it? I guess the defining moment was the Gary Hart moment when the media decided it was okay to go peek in people's windows and report on the sexual activities of politicians or would-be politicians. And then, of course, the unending assault on the Clintons, something that did not stop. And it wasn't tabloids. It was the New York Times, the L.A. Times, the Washington Post, the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, the Chicago Tribune, the Atlanta Journal and Constitution. It went on for years, and it would not stop until finally, apparently, the American public has said, screw you, we've had enough. So when a legitimate case is made, you think about the lies, the inability the print medium to distinguish between rumor and innuendo where it concerned Bill Clinton. The willingness on the part of these newspapers to publish every, say, you know, if it was on a Drudge in the morning and Limbaugh in the afternoon, it would be on the front page of the morning papers in major markets coast to coast across the fruited plain the next day. And the American public looked at this, and we watched. We watched what happened with the Star Report and the dumping into the Internet, the dumping into public discussion, just reams upon reams upon reams of sexually explicit research and masturbatory fantasies put together by Ken Starr. And on and on and on it went, okay? And we finally reached a point, didn't we? And that point is, when a legitimate case is made now against a man who by any definition is a sexual batterer, the women who are most, should be, since they are the victims for the most part, most concerned about this, stand back and say, nah, it's the media. I don't like what this looks like. The media tried to deep six my boy Arnold right before the election. To hell with that. I'm standing behind Arnold. By the way, I wish he'd grope me. It's all a joke. Wow. Wow. Mark is calling from Dallas. Hey, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hey, I've been reading a lot of your stuff. You're getting better and better, pal.
Yeah, practice makes perfect, right?
Oh, my God.
Hey, I think that there's only one person in the world more cynical than you, so what I'm about to say is very politically incorrect. My take on Arnold Schwarzenegger and the women that vote for him is that there are a lot of women that identify with him because he's a handsome man, because he is very wealthy, and they probably find him sexually attractive as well. So they think to themselves, okay, so he's a batter. As long as he doesn't batter me, it's to be expected. And I know that sounds crass, but in my humble experience at the age of 46 now, it seems to ring true.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure that sociologists or psychologists could explain it, but that seems to be...
Well, I'm actually looking right now at Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Right.
And you're probably familiar with that.
Yes, I am. Hey, let me put you on hold a second. We got to do a break. I'll come right back to you. Stay with us. Malloy here on Resistance Radio.
See? thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
It's week two of a strike of Chicago's trash collectors, and only the city's rat population is happy. Uncollected trash began piling up outside apartment homes and businesses September 30th as waste haulers with the city's private trash collection agencies went on strike. Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley has vowed to sue the Chicago Area Refuse Haulers Association, the Teamsters Union, or possibly both, over the dispute. Yesterday, a federal mediator joined talks after trash collectors overwhelmingly rejected management's latest contract offer.
Bechtel Corporation, a construction contractor with more than $600 million worth of building contracts in Iraq, is being sued by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission for discriminating against an Iraqi-American worker. The man, originally from Michigan, was working at a Bechtel facility in New Jersey 2 years ago during the terrorist attacks on New York and Washington, D.C. After those incidents, the man was constantly harassed by other Bechtel workers and was even beaten up a few times. The EEOC says the company did nothing to stop it, instead firing the man after he complained.
Former Washington, D.C. Teachers Union Chief Barbara Bullock pled guilty yesterday in a federal court to charges of mail fraud and conspiracy. During her 8-year tenure, Bullock used her union's coffers as a personal piggy bank, spending as much as $2.5 million of dues money on luxury items, furniture, and cosmetics. She faces up to 10 years in prison and $500,000 in fines.
Good news for 2,600 current and former employees of Sodexo Marriott Services. On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court dismissed Sodexo Marriott's challenge to their class action lawsuit. The workers, who are all non-white, claim rampant racial discrimination in the housekeeping and food service giant's promotion practices.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're now entering a flying monkey free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, we're talking with Mark in Dallas, Texas, and Maslow's hierarchy of needs just came up regarding Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know how you did that, but here we are.
Well, just going back to Maslow for a second, the highest level is self-actualization, and I think a lot of the angst that you express deals with a higher level sense of being in consciousness.
Right, okay.
And that's only possible when all the other needs are met.
Mm-hmm.
So there are probably very few of us that actually have all those lower level needs met at any one given time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly applied to the women. And we can flip this and look at it from the male perspective as well. There was a book that came out several years ago called The Selfish Gene by Richard Dawkins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of men identify with Schwarzenegger at a very crass, Cretan level, I understand, because they would love to live his lifestyle mm-hmm. because of the selfish gene theory, which says, you know, the males are driven by the need to procreate. So here he has a man. Here we see a man who basically pretends to procreate at will, and I think a lot of men would like to live that lifestyle.
Yeah, Dawkins, I deeply respect. Ever since my wife was at the University of UIC, mm-hmm. and read The Blind Watchmaker,
mm-hmm.
but she is. She's been typing furiously when you were talking about the sexual gene. Or the selfish gene regarding sexual selection that Dawkins talks about, and I completely agree. The identification that people can make with celebrities to me has always been just awesome to me. I mean, I've done it when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, when I was in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very easy thing to do, but I think most of us at some point, around age 25, we mm-hmm. realize that. Self-actualization is more important than hero worship. You know, I've said before on this program, and it's somebody else's title, it's not mine, but the line, a hero ain't nothing but a sandwich.
True, and it's interesting with somebody like Schwarzenegger how they can be identified with both sexes of the species.
Yeah.
You know, female for one set of reasons and men for another set of reasons.
Right.
But
right.
They can both glom onto him.
Yeah. Unbelievable stuff. Hey, thanks. Sure. Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate you checking in as always. Okay, a couple more comments here from you. If you're on hold and want to talk about the California recall, let's do that. But I just really want to move on because I want you to hear, first of all, Terry Gross and this incipient nervous breakdown named Bill O'Reilly. From her program today on NPR Fresh Air. You got to hear this. Frank, though, is calling from Ontario. He's our bureau chief in that Canadian province. Hey, Frank.
Hi there, Mike. Yeah, we had our vote last week here for premier in Ontario.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had the real simple way of voting.
Paper?
You put an X.
Yeah.
Paper ballot.
Right.
You put an X on it. You fold it up and put it into a box.
And then somebody counts them.
Individually.
Right.
And, you know, by pretty well the end of the night, we know where we stood.
Sure.
When our polls closed at around 8 o'clock that night.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been reading, I know you had Bev Harris on not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
They've had blackboxvoting.org shut down, but they've got this forum board up.
Right.
And there's this guy here, he's trying to cast a ballot, and he's got this big, long story, but he says that, He called several days ago to verify that he was registered to vote.
Mm-hmm.
He was assured that he was on the voter's rolls. Turns up, he goes to his precinct, and it's not there.
Right.
And I heard that, what was it, something like three-quarters of the precincts were closed. So they're going to have a record voter turnout,
right.
And then they only opened one-quarter of the number of the precincts.
The reason for that, part of the reason was there's no money in the state budget to provide for poll workers and electricity and air conditioning or whatever they need. It's just astonishing. And you're right, about 70%, I believe was the number I saw, of the polls were closed, which the result of that is long lines of people who read in the paper that their polling place is going to be closed, so they say to hell with it.
Right.
People who drive to their local polling place and find a sign on the door that says go over here, and they say, well, you know, I'm going to fight traffic, and don't show up. So, yeah, it was just an astonishing, perfect storm of garbage to get Arnold Schwarzenegger elected governor of California.
And we wonder how many of those votes are actually counted. Because have you heard about the provisional ballots?
Yeah, I have, and also the absentee ballots, none of which I don't think have been counted. I don't know. I mean, it appears to be a fait accompli that Arnold Schwarzenegger is the man, and there's no discussion. They're waiting for certification, but what's involved in that? You know, that reminds me too much of what's her name, of Harris down in Florida. It's certified. Okay, go be governor.
Right.
Crazy
so this
stuff.
This is all being swept under the rug. I did not hear one iota of the problems that handicapped voters were having.
Nothing.
About pencil bubble-type ballots, you know, the ones where they read with the Scantron machines?
Right, right.
They can't have creases in the paper. So what was happening is the ballot envelopes that they were giving them were less than half the size of the ballot. And then this poor guy says, when I asked the poll worker about it, she just replied, well, just fold it up. And when I pointed out that the ballot wasn't supposed to be folded, she said, well, sir, that's the only way you're going to be able to cast your ballot here today. It's just ridiculous. But anyways, I know you want to get those sound bites, and I'm anxious to listen to them, too.
It must be hysterically funny to Canadians. This whole thing. I mean, you guys have a front row, a ringside seat, a center stage right in front watching the madness going on down here. It must be...
What can I say? It's a theatrical spectacle. Yeah, you're right.
Thanks, Frank.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, sir. Take care. Oh, God. All right. Now, let's do... we got time to do Terry Gross and Bill O'Reilly. We do have time. Okay. Barely. Keep in mind here, Terry Gross and Bill O'Reilly, Terry Gross has probably the finest interview program in the history of radio. But she got O'Reilly on. They were discussing several topics. This was a 50-minute discussion before he exploded. Among these topics was the unfavorable review his new book was given by Harper's Magazine, his childhood in Long Island, the four sports he played as a youth, how he admired Bobby Kennedy, how political spin differs from political opinion, his Democrat mother and Republican father, his father's death, on and on and on. Keep that in mind when you hear these excerpts. Now, we're going to start you slow. This is near the end of the interview when things start to get bad and then move quickly to psychotic over the next four clips. Listen up.
Now, you switched your political affiliation from Republican to Independent in 2000. You registered Republican in 94.
So yeah, I didn't. I mean, the true story about that was I didn't even know I was registered as a Republican. I mean, I thought I was registered as an Independent.
How did you make the mistake, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, it might have been just a rush job. It might have been a myriad of things. But if people want to think that I tried to deceive them, then you go ahead and think that. But I just told you the truth.
Right. Yeah, Al Franken reprints the registration form where the Republican box is checked.
And he also says, you know, come on. If you don't know, Terry, what this guy did, all right, and I didn't hear your interview with him, but I hope that you were just as tough with him as you're being with me. I hope you scrutinized him just as much as you are with me. I hope NPR is fair and balanced. Anyway, if you don't know what he's doing or trying to do, then I can't help you. And if you're on board with that, then I don't respect you.
Oh, you see? Terry, are you against me too? Are you another one of these media geeks who's against me? Are you, Terry? Is NPR fair and balanced? If you don't know what Al Franken's up to, that smarmy bastard, well then, Terry, shame on you. Now, this is where old Bill O'Reilly starts to really lose it.
There was a review. I was just reading a review of your new book in People magazine. Did you see this one?
I see them all.
Yeah. Okay, so the reviewer said... after he gave your previous book, after he reviewed your previous book, he tuned into your show and heard you ridiculing him.
Right, because he reviewed me, not the book.
Do you think that it might have a chilling effect on book reviewers to know that if you give them a bad review, they're going to be mocking, you're going to be mocking them on your
show?
Depends
on the review.
Uh-huh.
Depends on the review. If the guy reviews the book... Not me. I'm not going to say anything.
I'll read what the People magazine thinks.
Why? Why read it? Why read
it? Because I want people to hear it.
Why?
Because it...
Why?
You'll hear when I'm done why.
You know, I mean, look, I'm getting a feeling in this interview, all right, that this is just a hatchet job on me, all right? And I don't like it.
Ooh, you're going to have to up your dose of Wellbutrin there, Bill. Come on. Ah-ah. Now... He starts to get scary. If I were Terry Gross, I would have been looking for, you know, a blunt instrument right about now and holding it underneath the desk. But listen as he starts to get really scary.
Now, there's no reason for you to read that People magazine review. If they want to read it, they can go and read it.
No, but this isn't the review of the book. It's the review of how you handled it. And I think
it doesn't make any difference.
It's okay to ask you to be accountable for the things
that you said. Accountable for what? You know, I came on this program to talk about who's looking out for you. And what you have done is thrown every kind of defamation you can in my face. Okay? Fine. Fresh air? Is this what fresh air is?
No, that's not fresh air, Bill. What you're breathing in is the air of the tomb. Yours, you psychopath. Okay, here we go. Hello, psycho calling.
Were you as tough on Al Franken as you are on me?
No,
you weren't.
I wasn't.
Okay, why?
Well, Al Franken had written a book of political satire.
Oh, he was satire now, was it? Calling people liars and distorting their faces on the book cover. That's satire now, is it? And my book, Who's Looking Out for You, is designed to help people, to show them how they have to know how to read people in this society to succeed. Yet you're easy on Franken and you challenge me. This is NPR. Okay? I think we all know what this is. I think we all know where you're going with this.
Well,
don't we?
Well, you can think
we?
Whatever you want
I
to.
I am.
And why are you pumping poison gas into my microphone? Jesus, God. Okay, is this the last one? Here he finally storms off the air. He just gets up and walks out after his paranoia hits full throttle.
I mean, I'm evaluating this interview very closely.
Obviously
now,
you are.
We've spent now, all right, 50 minutes of me being defending defamation against me in every possible way, while you gave Al Franken a complete pass on his defamatory book. And if you think that's fair, Terry, then you need to get in another business. I'll tell you that right now. And I'll tell your listeners if you have the courage to put this on the air. This is basically an unfair interview designed to try to trap me into saying something that Harper's can use.
Oh, my God.
And you know it. And you should be ashamed of yourself. And that is the end of this interview.
Oh, so you're not even going to give me the chance to ask you a follow-up question. You have to make a speech and then have the last word? You're gone. Okay, I guess that's the answer to that question. He's walked out.
Oh, my God. Is this guy a just wacko? Now, remember what happened at the National Booksellers Convention, where was that, on the West Coast, a month or so ago, when, you know, he's practically screaming from his seat at Al Franken, liar, liar! This guy is, I love this kind of stuff. I wish every single right-winger in America who had the power of the microphone or the printed page, like this thug does, would go insane. Every one of them should be put in the box with Terry Gross. Even these smarmy little thugs like Bill Kristol. Bill Sapphire is probably too old and too sharp to sink into paranoia. He's way around the bend. But to watch somebody like or listen to somebody like O'Reilly lose it like this with someone who has just spent 50 minutes touting his book, talking about his poor, warped Catholic childhood, going on and on with him, and then ask him a few questions pertinent to the interview, and O'Reilly, who is just a silly millimeter below the surface, ready to sink into full-blown paranoia, loses it in the studio. Unbelievable stuff. Rush is a pill-popping freak. George Bush was a cocaine-using draft dodger. O'Reilly is on the verge of a complete mental collapse. Wow. I don't deny it. Every time I hear something like that or hear Rumsfeld talk about World War IV robots, or see Richard Pearl's eyes roll up and stick out of his head like somebody with Hashimoto's disease. Or that's Graves' disease, I'm sorry. Ashcroft dousing himself in Crisco oil and declaring Christ is on the verge of coming back. Where are we? And Arnold Schwarzenegger has been elected governor of California. This is some kind of a freaked out, on acid Disneyland, isn't it? I mean, aren't we all just like... But it is entertaining. It is definitely entertaining. Every time I see O'Reilly now, I'm just going to hear that. RW is calling from right up the road here in Chattanooga. RW, welcome to the program.
How's it going, man?
Hey, it's going. How are you doing?
Pretty good. You think Macho Man feels really good after beating up a little old Terry Gross?
He probably does. But Terry Gross is no slouch. You know, she was doing interviews for NPR when O'Reilly was parking cars at some restaurant or something.
That's definitely going to go in the archives. I'm going to download that one. I was just wondering, and this is my conspiracy theory about Rush and his little ESPN thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you bet he may have got an advance wind that this was going to hit? So he says, okay, let's suck the air out of this fire with another little small controlled burst. You know,
mm-hmm.
You think about it, his constituency is not going to be offended by the McNagg comments, but
right.
They might run afoul. Them pill popping stuff.
Right,
we can't handle that.
right. Yeah, that's what we talked about the other night. That most of his constituents have something in common. They don't like people of color, and they don't like drug usage, mm-hmm. Drug abuse. So
dope freaks.
Yeah, dope.
FM dope smoking types. Yeah.
Hey, let me put you on hold and come back here. We got to take a quick break. All right. All right, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
Animal.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you. I know what you're talking about.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
The Flying Monkey Ride Blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we're talking with R.W., who's called in from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Where were we?
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, could Brush be trying to create another story just to kind of keep the air out of this?
Oh, yeah, for sure. This drug story, we talked about this the day that it broke, or the evening of the day that it broke. It's disappeared now. For there's a little reference to it in an essay by Eric Alderman in this week's Newsweek, and a few little references here and there. But this story is essentially dead. The only way it's going to be revived, I think, is if the state's attorney or the county attorney, whichever one is handling this drug probe in Florida, subpoenas Rush as a witness for the prosecution against the people who are running the drug ring. If that happens, then, of course, it's going to, the predatory press will be out there with their cameras and so on and so forth just to catch another celebrity. I hate the man myself, but, he is a celebrity in America.
I've been digging around. I've not been able to find anything on the actual news sites. I'm surprised how much this is disappearing. I got to dig. And if it weren't for listening to you and some other shows, I wouldn't even know that there was supposedly a videotape of this guy.
Audio tape. Yeah. His former housekeeper wore a wire during the last two transactions between her and Limbaugh, also has allegedly has emails that he sent her and phone messages on her answering machine. All of this. According to reports in not too savory newspapers, The Inquirer and New York Daily News, although the stories now have been picked up by the AJC and the New York Times and Washington Post, and one would think that they would do checking, which is not to say that New York Daily News or The Inquirer doesn't do a basic fact-checking, but Reuters news agency had the story too, and they are fairly reliable. So but the story is not going to be out there. Rush Limbaugh is part of the a media establishment in this country. He is an extremely powerful individual, an extremely looked up to individual, admired and respected by his brain dead robot like followers. And the story's not going to show up again, R.W., unless he is called to testify.
Why is Drudge carrying Rush's water on this? Because I heard he's been going after O'Reilly big time. Apparently O'Reilly said something or mentioned something about this, and Drudge just went off on him. What is the two?
I don't know. It's just the clash of paranoid right-wing egos.
You can get the kiss the ring?
Yeah. O'Reilly and Rush have kind of a little vendetta that's been going on for a couple of years now because O'Reilly is pissed off he's not Rush, and Rush keeps swatting O'Reilly away like he's a bug. Hey, R.W., thanks for checking in, pal.
Quick, one more thing, real quick. Great. You're in the business.
Quick.
Who's bankrolling O'Reilly's show?
Roger Ailes and Fox. Thank you, sir. Quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Californians banished Governor Gray Davis just 11 months into his second term and elected Arnold Schwarzenegger to replace him Tuesday. Hundreds of supporters streamed into the ballroom of the Century Plaza Hotel to cheer the immigrant bodybuilder-turned-actor as he took the prize in what he once called his master plan. 35 years ago in Santa Monica, California, Mr. Schwarzenegger disclosed to his friends what he called his master plan. Become a movie star, make millions of dollars, marry a famous wife, and hold political power over people. Mr. Schwarzenegger's handler said they would take him out of the public eye for a few days to allow sexual misconduct to cool. The U.S. military has been unable to locate a large number of shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles that were part of Saddam Hussein's arsenal, compounding security risk for airports and airlines in Iraq and around the world. The lack of accounting for the missiles is the primary reason occupation authorities have not yet reopened Baghdad International Airport to commercial traffic. The terminal has been rebuilt and the runways repaired, and Australian soldiers are running the air traffic control system. But according to senior officials, portable missiles were fired at incoming planes several times in recent weeks. Most of those incidents have not been reported to the public. Facing growing doubts at home about the wisdom of attacking Iraq, President George W. Bush on Wednesday will launch a campaign to defend the U.S. invasion and cite progress being made even as U.S. troops face daily lethal attacks. The attempt to spin the Iraq debate comes as Bush's approval ratings are in a free fall over the White House security breach, or Leakgate investigation, coupled with the failure to find any weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. The campaign will begin with a Chicago speech by Condoleezza Rice and continue on Wednesday in speeches by Bush in New Hampshire and Kentucky. On Friday, Dick Cheney will deliver a speech in Washington. This campaign coincides with the six-month anniversary of the fall of Iraq, a time frame marked by daily guerrilla attacks on U.S. forces and the hundreds of deaths and thousands of casualties since the occupation. The on-again, off-again, no-call list is now on again. A federal appeals court let the Federal Trade Commission enforce its do-not-call program against telemarketers yesterday. The appeals court ruling frees the commission to fine telemarketers up to $11,000 for each violation. The national no-call list has registered more than 51 million phone numbers.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
German women, fed up with their partners grumbling on shopping trips, can now dump them at a special kindergarten for men. The men get 2 beers, a hot meal, televised football, and games. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
We're told that the beauty of America's political system is that we, the people, have the right to vote. Yes, but do we have the right to have our votes properly counted? In the old days, corrupt political bosses would sometimes stuff the ballot box or even steal the box. In today's modern computerized age, however, such thievery can be done by sophisticated software manipulation without anyone even touching the ballot boxes. Indeed, most states no longer have ballot boxes at all, having replaced them with touchscreen technology that, they promise, digitally records our votes in cyberspace. Swell. Except, how do we know that our digital votes on these computers actually are recorded in real space? There's growing evidence that not only can these machines be manipulated by hackers or unscrupulous sellers of the machines, but that such corruption of our votes already is taking place. In Georgia, for example, 22,000 touchscreen machines had to get emergency fixes in 2002 because a Rob Georgia software bug was found on the seller's site. The computer providers, however, refused to let election officials examine their computer codes, claiming that the codes are proprietary trade secrets. Trust us, they say. No, I say. One reason we shouldn't trust them is that the two largest sellers of the machines also happen to be major campaign donors to George Bush's Republican Party. In Ohio, for example, the CEO of Diebold, a major seller, sent out a fundraising letter asking for $10,000 donations to Bush's reelection bid just one day prior to getting his touchscreen computers approved for use in Ohio. This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop electronic vote theft, support H.R. 2239, requiring a paper audit of all electronic votes. For info, call Representative Rush Holt, 202-225-5801.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stepman's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
7 past the hour. Welcome back. Okay, this is going to be the final word for tonight anyway on the Schwarzenegger election last night, or yesterday. It's an email from David in Lake Elsinore, California. And it's David is a little bit more cynical tonight than I am, which is really saying something, but it's well written. Hi, Mike. We here in California deserve Arnold. We deserve the woman-groping, Enron-connected, land-developer-funded, violence-pushing actor for governor. Despite the truth that it was Enron stealing $9 billion that caused our debt, we elect an Enron-connected Republican. It's laughable. We deserve what is to come. Americans likewise deserve the corporate shills who stole the White House in 2000. Republicans stopped the vote count, and we just sat there staring at the tube as if it were someone else's democratic process being hijacked. Therefore, we deserve the multi-trillion dollar debt these oil-drenched, unelected usurpers have gleefully loaded on our backs. We deserve the worldwide disdain for their oil war. We deserve the Patriot Act. We deserve corrupt, paperless, Diebold touch screen voting machines, which make further mockery of our vote. Vigilance is the price of freedom, and we are no longer willing to pay. Vigilance and desire for truth have been vaporized by the cunning of the corporate media giants, Republican-owned Fox, Republican-owned Clear Channel, and, of course, the man paid one-third of $1 billion to keep us voting Republican, Rush Limbaugh. We deserve him, too, because even with the bottomless depths of his hypocrisy now exposed, his followers will continue to listen and believe every lie that oozes from his drug-addled orifice. We don't search for the truth anymore, and even when it hits us in the face, we look the other way. We deserve you, Rush. We deserve you, George. We deserve you, Arnold. David, Lake Elsinore, California. I hear that. Dave is calling our Gitmo Guantanamo Bureau Chief, actually from Silverdale, Washington. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Great show tonight, as usual.
Well, thank you, sir.
I'm not in Gitmo yet. That will be the end of November.
Oh, that's right. Okay, well, we're just kind of pushing you there. You're the Gitmo Bureau Chief.
I know, and I'm looking forward to getting on the job.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You know, I'll tell you, that letter from David in Lake Elsinore, California, you know, just we're of one mind on that. I've been sitting here reflecting on it all day, and it just comes down to, I think, you know, a TV-watching mob that has been lazy about our democracy, and we've let these demagogues and racists and phonies just basically take over the dialogue or the narrative in this country, and it's shameful. And you know, I want to tend to I have a tendency to want to blame the Republican mob, and yet it's not. It is, and it isn't. In a sense, it really, as David suggested, it's kind of all of us, and it just. But it motivates me to because. I've found a lot of success in the past year in basically just letting go and saying what's on my mind, confronting people, and not being that polite Democrat that I used to be.
Don't you have to be a little bit cautious since you're in the military?
Well, I have to be cautious in terms of I don't want to. Well, you know what? Let me say how that will work. I've been a Dennis Kucinich supporter.
Right.
And I think right now what I'll probably do is, in principle, I'll continue to support Dennis Kucinich, and I'll support him. I run a mailing list of Kucinich supporters out here in Washington, and I'll continue to do that. But publicly, I'm going to support Wesley Clark, and there are ways I can get my message across. But at the same time, it's not a... I think that people have to, if you're coming from an authentic place, if you're speaking the truth, there's no harm to be had. I find that I say what's on my mind, and that's that. And nine times out of ten, when you're talking to one of these mouth-breathing drones that's, you know, Russia's right, it's so easy to make them basically look like the ignoramuses that they are. That, you know, it's almost no harm, no foul. You know, you plunk them on the head with some reality, and you're on your way.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that I don't want to even say Democrats, because I'm not sure I'm a Democrat. I'm a Democratic-minded person. I believe in the principles that Jefferson and Franklin put forth, and I think that... you know what? If it causes some risk, if it makes some waves, I got to be willing to do that. You know, the people who created this democracy were of a mind. You know, give me liberty or give me death. And if I sit here fearful, well, I'm gonna, you know, make waves. I mean, look at the distance between give me liberty and give me death, and oh, I don't want to, you know, upset someone. So I gotta do what my spiritual conscience tells me to do, and
well,
that is to go out and throw elbows.
Yeah, I completely respect that. You're in good company here. Dave, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thanks.
All right, sir, you have a nice evening. I think most of the people who listen, if not all of the people who listen to this program, feel the same way. I don't have any doubt. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I got two things to notify you of, just to warn you, it's going to be on tonight on the TV.
Okay.
One is, tonight they're showing Illy Kazan movies on TCM.
Oh, really?
So they're showing Face of the Crowd like at 3:30 in the morning, so if you want to sit the VCR.
Yeah, that's a good, boy, that's great. Thanks for the heads up on that. Okay. We will tape that one.
And while I was waiting here a little while ago, before I called you, I was flipping around channels, had the mute on while I was listening to you, of course. But, unfortunately, where I am, you have to go through Fox News if you're going up and down the dial.
Yeah.
And, Baby Jesus was on in his show.
Yeah.
And they had Katarina, I can never say her name.
Vandenhoevel. Uh-huh, from The Nation.
It was probably about 9:45, so I guess she came on probably about 9:40. She just about handed him his head tonight.
Good for her. She has forgotten more than Sean Hannity will ever know.
Oh, I tell you what, and like I say, you can tell when I turned the volume up to see what they were talking about.
Uh-huh.
And you can already tell what next year's is.
What?
These are all Bush haters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No matter what you're against the policy, you hate Bush.
right.
That's the new thing. You hate Bush. It's personal, all this.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It's like I'm sitting there going, you know, when does anybody lately attack Bush's family?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's all these other, but, okay, let me go into another thing.
Okay.
I was thinking about, I wrote to the Washington Post today on one of their live discussions. They didn't use my question, but the thing I wrote them was, I said, it's going to be sort of fun for the next 2-3 months.
Mm-hmm.
The people in California are going to be feeling what I call the Monty Hall syndrome.
Monty Hall.
Yeah. You all have been playing Let's Make a Deal. You all have picked curtain number one.
Right.
You have no idea what's behind it. Now you get to find out.
Right.
Can you all say the word zonk? I mean, it's sort of like, you know, it was amazing. Every time you hear him talk, it's like in generality. Somebody was talking today on one of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
Said, oh, I know who it was. It was Harry Shearer.
Right.
They were talking to him on some show. He said, so the beautiful thing about this was that he gave you just enough so everybody thought he was talking exactly to them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm exactly the way you are. No, I'm exactly the way you are. You know, it's sort of like, it's just so much generality. Everybody thinks he's saying exactly what they think.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's going to be just a fun watching the, I guess you call it the hangover.
Yeah, yeah.
As they all come around to reality.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, I have friends in California. I have family in California.
Me too.
And it's it's a shame, but that's going to be fun to watch, and it's going to be fun to watch the Bush crime family implode, and it is going to implode.
Oh.
We just have to make sure that our pitchforks and cudgels are close at hand if they try to steal the election.
Well, it's like this thing you had tonight, this thing with O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Other than you, and maybe whoever was listening to NPR, we won't hear about this.
Nah.
And that's the thing is, we've got to keep on being on the phone or on the phones and riding into people. You know, it's like Kurtz, the mouth breather.
Yeah.
It's like everybody ought to be writing him, telling him, you know, did you listen to O'Reilly yesterday on Fresh Air?
Mm-hmm.
He virtually had a breakdown.
Yeah.
And if you get 20 or 30 people writing in, he may actually even look at it or listen to it.
He just might. He just might. Luke, thanks for checking in, buddy.
All right, Mike, you have a good evening.
All right, sir, you too. Let me shift gears. Oh, first of all, I just want to share. I have a very interesting experience today. I was interviewed for an hour by a guy named Bob Christie, who has it's on a new station in South Florida, Lauderdale. Do you remember the call letters, Kathy? FTL, is that what it is? Yeah, it's in Lauderdale, and it's a 50,000-watt station that I believe is going to cover most of South Florida. Interesting guy. We were on for an hour, and the questions he asked me were vis-a-vis what we talk about on this program every night. And what was amazing to me was that every single caller that got on the air to talk with me, and I would assume that was everyone who called in. I think Bob was looking for a little dissent, but it didn't show up. Every single caller was sympathetic to the point of view I was taking and in total agreement. Not because it's my point of view, because it's theirs. And that was astonishing to me. And as Bob Christie pointed out, you know, this is South Florida. This is, you know, has a reputation, a certain brand of conservatism and, you know, Limbaugh and Hannity and Savage. And that's sure. I mean, that's true whether it's South Florida or Northern California. It's, you know, this infestation is all over the country. But what was amazing to me, people calling in to be on the program that were in complete agreement, or I should say I was in complete agreement with them. And the comments were, where did you find this guy, Bob? In referring to me. Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm hearing this on a radio station of South Florida. You know, one woman called in. She was on I-95, picked up her cell phone. Another guy calls from his house. Another man was out working in his garden, wasn't he, Kathy, and had a radio on out there and had to come in the house and call. I think people are starting to realize that they've had enough. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
We're told that the beauty of America's political system is that we, the people, have the right to vote. Yes, but do we have the right to have our votes properly counted? In the old days, corrupt political bosses would sometimes stuff the ballot box or even steal the box. In today's modern computerized age, however, such thievery can be done by sophisticated software manipulation without anyone even touching the ballot boxes. Indeed, most states no longer have ballot boxes at all, having replaced them with touchscreen technology that, they promise, digitally records our votes in cyberspace. Swell. Except, how do we know that our digital votes on these computers actually are recorded in real space? There's growing evidence that not only can these machines be manipulated by hackers or unscrupulous sellers of the machines, but that such corruption of our votes already is taking place. In Georgia, for example, 22,000 touchscreen machines had to get emergency fixes in 2002 because a Rob Georgia software bug was found on the seller's site. The computer providers, however, refused to let election officials examine their computer codes, claiming that the codes are proprietary trade secrets. Trust us, they say. No, I say, one reason we shouldn't trust them is that the two largest sellers of the machines also happen to be major campaign donors to George Bush's Republican Party. In Ohio, for example, the CEO of Diebold, a major seller, sent out a fundraising letter asking for $10,000 donations to Bush's reelection bid just one day prior to getting his touchscreen computers approved for use in Ohio. This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop electronic vote theft, support H.R. 2239, requiring a paper audit of all electronic votes. For info, call Representative Rush Holt, 202-225-5801.
Out by right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. A lot of items have collected on the stack here that we have kind of either ignored altogether or just kind of skimmed over. This is one. Actually, this is from today. This is really too sick for words. Supreme Court has ruled, you know, they're in session now, and U.S. Supreme Court has ruled without hearing arguments that convicted murderers with severe mental health problems can be forced to take drugs that would make them clinically sane so they can be executed. Now, I'm against the death penalty, except for Republicans and mass murderers. I just am. People who commit these horrendous crimes should be given a fair trial. And, of course, they're insane, too, aren't they? I don't know. Truth be told, I'm probably against the death penalty in every instance. I remember the first time I said that way back when I started in radio 14 years ago, and somebody called in, well, what if they murdered your son, Christopher? No, you missed the point. I said I'm against the death penalty. If somebody murdered one of my children, I would probably hunt them down and kill them with my bare hands. But I'm against the state having the power to take a life. Does this qualify as shocking? The case concerns a convicted murderer, a guy named Charles Singleton, who in 1979 killed a grocery shop worker in Arkansas. He was convicted that year and sentenced to death. Now, while awaiting execution, and this does not make the argument, let's execute them faster. Look at how many innocent people have been released from the nation's death rows here in the past 3 or 4 years, not on technicalities, but because DNA evidence, for example, proved them totally innocent. But anyway, while awaiting execution, in this case, Charles Singleton's mental health deteriorated to such an extent that prison psychologists or whomever reported that he believed that the victim, the person he killed, was still alive. He believed that the authorities implanted a device in his ear. His jail cell was under the control of demons, poison gas, but, you know, just the classic symptoms, kind of like Bill O'Reilly. Now, because a prisoner has to be technically sane before being executed, the U.S. Supreme Court was asked to decide whether Singleton could be given psychotropic drugs to qualify for that requirement so he could be put to death. Make him clinically, that's not psychologically sane, if I'm not being redundant there. They're not trying to make him sane in the sense that he becomes rational. They're trying to make him sane in a clinical sense. If the most obvious symptoms, the delusional symptoms, the paranoid symptoms, the schizophrenia can be brought under control, then you can execute him. Now, this is sick. This is vile. I can't believe that the United States Supreme Court has ruled this way. One can make an argument that they have to rule along the guidelines, case law, or if not case law, certainly constitutional law, not case law, the constitutional law. And his attorneys, this convicted murderer's attorneys, had approached this on the cruel and unusual prohibition in the U.S. Constitution. So what the Supreme Court has ruled, it is not cruel, nor is it unusual, nor is it a combination of the two, to drug someone to the point where they understand that they're going to be executed and then execute them.
Not the last poor man.
Is it time for another break already? Okay, damn. Well, I've got some more to say about this, so we'll take a quick break and come back on this particular case. And there's a bunch of stuff I want to cover, so stay with me. I'm Mike Malloy.
Okay, streets are safe now. All your pretty white children can come out and see Spider-Man. They came out their houses and they looked around. But they didn't see no one in my country. Tis of they to take swings at each other on talk show TV. But why don't you just go ahead and turn off the sun? Cause we'll never live long enough undo everything they've done to you.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Oil put the power in America's economy and the glitz in our lifestyles, but an author says the days of petroleum prosperity are nearing an end. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. We've been burning petroleum like a fool with a family inheritance. Richard Heinberg says the party's over, and that's the title of his new book about oil.
It took nature tens of millions of years to make fossil fuels, to cook them slowly under the Earth's crust. And we're burning them in an extraordinarily short period of time, an eye blink of geological time.
Heinberg says half of North America's oil has been burned in his 52-year lifetime, and he says the next few generations will see the rest of it disappear.
By the time a child born today is in their 50s or 60s or 70s, there will be virtually no significant oil being produced on the planet.
Heinberg says oil production always follows a bell-shaped curve. The pattern is the same for individual oil fields, entire countries, and the world as a whole. U.S. production peaked in 1970 and has fallen past the production rate of the late 1940s. Heinberg says other oil producers are following the same curve.
Of the 44 significant oil-producing countries in the world, 24 of them have gone through that same process. We just saw this with the North Sea oil production over the last two or three years. First Norway and then Great Britain going over the top so that now they're producing less oil than they were 4 years ago. And it looks as though that's going to continue with depletion rates of 2, 3, 4% per year.
Heinberg says we haven't planned for the end of oil and we're in for some unpleasant changes in the not-too-distant future. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We take lives when we have to protect the people. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. What are the birds in the background? Was that on the original soundbite, or did you add that? Oh, it's part of the music.
Hey Joe,
okay, I'm sorry. All right, back to this Supreme Court ruling that it is okay to drug somebody who is clinically insane to the point where they are no longer, by someone's evaluation, no longer clinically insane. And then just, I guess, a variation of saying, hi, we brought you back from your fog because we're going to kill you now. This to me is too sick for words. This is us. This is the United States. It's bad enough that we are in the company of a handful of countries, most of which are either under the control of dictators or are have no working government whatsoever. But we are in that company with our insistence on the death penalty. Most of the civilized world has given it up. Somebody commits a crime of horrendous proportions, okay, they go to prison for the rest of their lives. I have no problem with that. But in this case, since a prisoner has to be technically sane before he can be executed, the court was asked to decide whether this murderer, Charles Singleton, could be given the psychotropic drugs to make him sane and then put him to death. Now, in an appeals court in St. Louis earlier this year, it was ruled that it was acceptable to give Singleton the drugs, although the decision was not unanimous. There was a dissenting judge in St. Louis who said, quote, I believe that to execute a man who is severely deranged without treatment and arguably incompetent when treated is the pinnacle of the barbarity of exacting mindless vengeance, end quote. So at issue here was whether this sort of action amounts to cruel and unusual punishment under our Constitution. Way back in 1986, the Supreme Court ruled that it was cruel and unusual to execute someone if they did not know why they were being executed or even that they were about to be executed, which to me seems to be just completely counterintuitive to a civilized people. If we insist somebody knows that they are going to be executed and why they're going to be executed, especially the first part, they have to know that they are. Doesn't that qualify as mindless, drooling vengeance? If that's what we're about, okay, but I would like to believe we're not. The executive director of the Death Penalty Information Center, Washington, said that because the Supreme Court had upheld this decision without a debate, the door was still open for further appeal. He said, it is somewhat shocking that someone whose mental condition is so bad that you have to pump them up, so to speak, so that you can put them on the table to be executed. He went on to say, it seems to be the epitome of cruel punishment and the invasion of the human body. And, of course, this whole idea of lethal injection is now being questioned also. Medical experts are now arguing that while a person being executed may appear serene to the witnesses, you know, the series of three drugs that they inject, the first of which induces, muscle paralysis, the second of which introduces a coma-like state of unconsciousness, and the third stops the heart and kills. But medical experts are now saying it is possible that these people are in severe pain but unable to cry out because they've been paralyzed. A case brought by a prisoner awaiting execution claims that panuronium bromide, the chemical compound used in some states, leaves the prisoner conscious but unable to communicate. Now, that's the drug that several states have ruled cannot be used to execute animals because of its cruel nature. It paralyzes but does not render the victim unconscious. It's just appalling to me that we are still executing people in this country. I know some people are too vile to live. I understand that. I do. But the codicil I add to that, too vile to live, comma, in open society. And they should be incarcerated. They should be removed from society. I think attempts to rehabilitate people are good and just and the foundation of Western, may I use that term? Western ethical values. But I don't know. When I saw this, it just really, I'm not exaggerating, it kind of hit my gag reflex. I'm serious. You know, that rush of nausea that you get when you think, oh, my God, it's okay to bring someone back from the verge of paranoid schizophrenia, delusion with delusions, and somehow use powerful psychotropic drugs to make them clinically sane for what? For an hour? A day? I mean, how do they do this? Do they schedule the execution for 8 o'clock on the 1st of the month, and on the 31st of the month start injecting the drugs or force-feeding them down the prisoner's throat so that he or she comes out of a delusional state? For what, 2 hours, a week, a day? Is there any requirement how long they have to be sane? Who's to say if that they don't go insane once? Oh, Christ. You see what I'm talking about? This is sick stuff. This is so... I don't know. Nick is calling from Warsaw, Ohio. Hey, Nick. Yo, Nick. Okay, let me put Nick on hold and go to Jeff in Santa Fe. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Good. We got cut off last time, and everything's gotten crazy since I talked to you about 2.5 weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's just amazing what's going on.
Yeah?
It's just amazing, and I really think it's cruel and unusual punishment to bring someone out of a psychotic state to execute them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not against the death penalty if the overwhelming evidence and the nature of the crime warrants that. But to do that and bring someone out of a psychotic state just so they know that they're going to die is just cruel and unusual.
Yeah, I think it goes beyond a constitutional requirement that something cannot be cruel and unusual. I think it goes beyond legalistic terms to deliberately make someone clinically sane who is clinically insane in order to have a brief window within which you can execute them. To me, seems barbaric. I don't believe that we do that in this country, but apparently we do. The need for blood blood vengeance is so powerful in our society, apparently, that we are willing to go to this length, and to me that's a sign of a deep sickness in this country. It's just deeply sick.
It certainly is, you know, and there's lots of studies like things like pedophiles that they really are never rehabilitated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a way to deal with that. And being in New Mexico, we just had a man who was a pedophile who raped and murdered a 16 or 17 year old girl.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the history of what happened to him, he was molested as a child,
right?
And then molested somebody. Mm-hmm. I think he was in his late teens, maybe early 20s. And molested somebody, and the courts did not put him in therapy. His family could write letters to the court and get leniency for him, mm-hmm. and no treatment, which I think is a shame. And I have a hard time blaming the man for what happened because he has been the victim of abuse. But at the same time, that person should not be able to commit a crime like that again.
Well, I agree, and that's why I've believed for, I don't know, at one time I supported the death penalty. I thought I did not. And there was a case here in Georgia back in 1973, I believe, shortly after I had moved here. And it was the case of the Allday, just like it sounds, the Allday family in South Georgia. Five people, four men and a woman in the same family, were butchered. They were rural people who came home for lunch, and unknowing, they came home one or two at a time, unknowing that three escaped prisoners from the Maryland State Penitentiary were waiting. As the victims walked into the house, each one of them was tied up and executed. The woman, all these five victims were related. They were brothers and uncles and sons and daughter. The woman was taken to a field, raped repeatedly, and then murdered. And It was the closest to the lynching. There were two white guys and a black guy involved in this. It was the closest to a lynching in Georgia that I've seen since I've been here. It was touch and go. There was this family was well known in South Georgia, and there were a lot of probably 30 or 40 other relatives who lived to tell the story, more or less. But it was a horrible situation, and at that point I thought to myself, no, I'm in favor of the death penalty. These sons of bitches should be taken out, every one of them, and just, you know, executed slowly if possible. But as the years went by, and I have to say, two of them escaped execution. The youngest one turned state's evidence against the two older ones, and he served maybe 20 years, and I think was released. Another one is still in prison, and the other one, the so-called ringleader, the older white guy, finally was executed here in the state of Georgia, wasn't it, Kathy, about, I don't know, several months back, maybe, it was this year. But even given that, and everybody has their story to tell about the case that made them come back in favor of the death penalty, but it occurred to me after that mass murder that executing these people does absolutely nothing. It is blood vengeance for the survivors, yes. If the state wants to say to the surviving family members, here's what we'll do. We will cut the hands and feet off of these people, keep them in the hospital long enough so their wounds heal, and then we'll turn them over to you. They can't fight and they can't run. And then do whatever you need to do in order to satisfy. I could almost see that before I could see the state having the power to execute people.
Well, and you could clinically castrate someone like that and keep them out of circulation, so to speak.
Well, I'm a firm believer now at this point in my life, having seen what I've seen, having read what I've read, knowing how the death penalty works in this country. Somebody said to me, well, if you knew it could be fairly imposed and only on people who had committed the most egregious of brutal murders on children or old people or even just people of middle age who just horror, would you support it then?
And irrefutable evidence.
Yeah, and even but even at that, I've reached a point where I simply can't. I certainly respect your decision too, but I just.
Well, I mean, I believe the same thing because I see more and more examples of people who have been wrongly convicted, and 20 years later, they are proven to be innocent, and their 20 years of their life is
right.
Gone in the most horrendous of situations.
Yeah,
there is no. I mean. There is no pretty side to prison.
Yeah.
Not that I've ever been to prison, but I have heard. And it's just, it's amazing, the state of the country. I actually called you to because in Santa Fe we only get 2 hours of your three-hour show.
I know.
So we come in and we don't know what you've talked about when the 8 o'clock hour rolls on.
I know. We had a good first hour, too. You missed, we had cuts from Terry Gross's interview with O'Reilly today where he blew up and walked out of the interview.
Well, he seems to be blowing up a lot lately, doesn't he?
Well, he's on the verge. Hey, Jeff, I got to move on.
Okay, well, it's great to talk to you, Mike, and I'll talk to you again.
Now, you can hear that first hour. All you have to do is go to whiterosesociety.org. Find today's show and listen to the first hour.
I know. It's just getting on the computer is hard even.
I hear that. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. Take care. I guess I'm not trying to get cute with you here, but I guess I'm opposed from a deontological perspective. And that's the imperative of respect. Put simply, it's the idea that lowering yourself to the base level of the criminal takes away from your humanity, and that is what we are doing. The state says you shall not murder, and if you do murder, we will murder you to prove that murdering is wrong. It's very easy to make the argument, and it's very righteous to make the argument that I think that we should aspire constantly to a higher level of consciousness than that. So it's a difficult it's been extremely difficult for me to come to that decision about capital punishment. And I, you know, someone who has a thought-out position, not just a knee-jerk, kill the sons of bitches, that I don't respect. But like my last caller, if you have worked this through in your mind, and to the extent that it's possible, have decided on a rational base, with a rational slant, that this is your decision, this is your take on capital punishment, so be it. Okay, now I think we have Nick in Warsaw, Ohio. Hey, Nick.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
I was watching a video of Michael Moore's movie Bowling for Columbine.
Great movie.
Yeah, and I was struck by the brutality, in, you know, of our system, and it seems like this is just another symptom of it.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to always put corporate profits and ahead of the people and the environment.
Yeah.
And it just seems like something that's ingrained. I don't know, he made the point about how we, you know, sort of butchered our way across the U.S. You know, all our genocidal policies, and they're still being carried out around the world in Iraq and all other places.
Can I get you to hold that thought, Nick?
Sure, sure.
Okay, let me just put you on hold. We're talking about Michael Moore's film. We'll come back right after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
And I've seen the victim's family holding hands. Last night I dreamed that I woke up with straps across my chest and something cold and black pumped through my lungs. Even Jesus couldn't save me, though I know he did his best. But he don't live on LSU.
Irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximo strikes my lines, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My lance is wonderful, wet, drenching sensation,
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
The Mike Molloy Show.
In an interview interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man. He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was it, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, True Seekers.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine, thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Ciano, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a Okay, with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best of progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
There's a bell ringing all in my ear.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
There's a bell ringing all in my ear.
Five before the hour, we're talking with Nick in Warsaw, Ohio. Now we're talking about Michael Moore's Bowling for Columbine vis-a-vis violence in the society.
Yeah, I am going to be presenting this film to a group of people, and I'm just interested in any insight anybody else has had into it that's seen the video. I thought your show would probably have some people that would qualify. I don't know. I think our priorities are all wrong, you know, in the nation. I'm sure everybody feels that way that's listening to that. We got to start putting people before profits and things like that. But idea that the death penalty and things like that can be so easily applied to someone who's so deficient in even the ability to understand what's happening to them.
Right.
You know, it just seems like another symptom of the same old thing, that Americans have been desensitized, dehumanized somehow, and we've really got to take our nation back, not just politically, but spiritually, you know, from these people.
That would be a good, if you're going to show this film to a group of people, that would be a good starting point, just what you just said.
I'm interested in anybody's take on it, because, it's a thought-provoking film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that can really change your values, you know. We're right here in rural Ohio,
right?
And great people here, you know, but they've been so misled, so cut off from their own history, and uninformed, and bamboozled by people like Limbaugh, and that they don't really understand how they work against their own interests.
Now, who are you going to show this film to? Are you putting yourself at risk for a lot of boos and...
Oh,
Nick, what are you, a communist?
You know,
well,
are you going to get that?
We don't know. We set up a booth at the fair, mm-hmm. and we three of us called ourselves the Green Party of Coshocton, just ex-Democrats, and we advertised we were going to show it, and we got some response. People said they might show up, you know, they took some flyers and things, Well, we'll find out.
Oh, my God, you're in southern Ohio, too, right?
Well, central.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Coshocton. Is that's the county, not the city? Or
Yeah, well, we're Warsaw is just a little bit east of Coshocton.
Okay, I know where you are. Hey, listen, we're flat out of time. When's the showing?
Oh, we're going to do it October 30th.
Let us know what happens, will you?
Sure will.
Nick, thanks for calling in. I do appreciate your phone call, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right, take care. All right, we do have a break here. We'll be back. Final hour coming up. Stay with us, please. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
Facing growing doubts at home about the wisdom of attacking Iraq, President George W. Bush on Wednesday will launch a campaign to defend the U.S. invasion and cite progress being made even as U.S. troops face daily lethal attacks. The attempt to spin the Iraq debate comes as Bush's approval ratings are in a free fall over the White House security breach, or Leakgate investigation, coupled with the failure to find any weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. The campaign will begin with a Chicago speech by Condoleezza Rice and continue on Wednesday in speeches by Bush in New Hampshire and Kentucky. On Friday, Dick Cheney will deliver a speech in Washington. This campaign coincides with the six-month anniversary of the fall of Iraq, a time frame marked by daily guerrilla attacks on U.S. forces and the hundreds of deaths and thousands of casualties since the occupation. The U.S. military has been unable to locate a large number of shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles that were part of Saddam Hussein's arsenal, compounding security risk for airports and airlines in Iraq and around the world. The lack of accounting for the missiles is the primary reason occupation authorities have not yet reopened Baghdad International Airport to commercial traffic. The terminal has been rebuilt and the runways repaired, and Australian soldiers are running the air traffic control system. But according to senior officials, portable missiles were fired at incoming planes several times in recent weeks. Most of those incidents have not been reported to the public. Californians banished Governor Gray Davis just 11 months into his second term and elected Arnold Schwarzenegger to replace him Tuesday. Hundreds of supporters streamed into the ballroom of the Century Plaza Hotel to cheer the immigrant bodybuilder turned actor as he took the prize in what he once called his master plan. 35 years ago in Santa Monica, California, Mr. Schwarzenegger disclosed to his friends what he called his master plan. Become a movie star, make millions of dollars, marry a famous wife, and hold political power over people. Mr. Schwarzenegger's handlers said they would take him out of the public eye for a few days to allow accusations of sexual misconduct to cool. The on-again, off-again, no-call list is now on again. A federal appeals court let the Federal Trade Commission enforce its do-not-call program against telemarketers yesterday. The appeals court ruling frees the commission to fine telemarketers up to $11,000 for each violation. The national no-call list has registered more than 51 million phone numbers.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
A British scientist has calculated the optimum thickness for a slice of cheese to make the perfect cheese sandwich. In a bite-sized sandwich, a slice of cheddar needs to be at least 2.8 millimeters thick. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
We're told that the beauty of America's political system is that we, the people, have the right to vote. Yes, but do we have the right to have our votes properly counted? In the old days, corrupt political bosses would sometimes stuff the ballot box or even steal the box. In today's modern computerized age, however, such thievery can be done by sophisticated software manipulation without anyone even touching the ballot boxes. Indeed, most states no longer have ballot boxes at all, having replaced them with touchscreen technology that, they promise, digitally records our votes in cyberspace. Swell. Except, how do we know that our digital votes on these computers actually are recorded in real space? There's growing evidence that not only can these machines be manipulated by hackers or unscrupulous sellers of the machines, but that such corruption of our votes already is taking place. In Georgia, for example, 22,000 touchscreen machines had to get emergency fixes in 2002 because a Rob Georgia software bug was found on the seller's site. The computer providers, however, refused to let election officials examine their computer codes, claiming that the codes are proprietary trade secrets. Trust us, they say. No, I say. One reason we shouldn't trust them is that the two largest sellers of the machines also happen to be major campaign donors to George Bush's Republican Party. In Ohio, for example, the CEO of Diebold, a major seller, sent out a fundraising letter asking for $10,000 donations to Bush's reelection bid just one day prior to getting his touchscreen computers approved for use in Ohio. This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop electronic vote theft, support H.R. 2239, requiring a paper audit of all electronic votes. For info, call Representative Rush Holt, 202-225-5801.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
Well, the ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Mea culpa, mea culpa. I didn't want to get into a discussion here or Shanghai you into one regarding the death penalty. Kathy has a couple more calls up here on the board here, which I will take, but I want to move on then. It was just the Supreme Court ruling that I wanted to discuss, and the ruling that it's okay to chemically... raise someone out of the depths of delusional schizophrenia long enough to kill them, for the state to kill them. That's all. But so again, let's kind of do this quick. Although, Jody, I see what you want to talk about here, and I think you and I talked about this when I was in Chicago, didn't we?
No, I didn't talk
you
about
never,
that.
You never called in about this?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought perhaps you had one.
I haven't. I just want to say that as someone who's had a family member murdered, I don't think it would help me to see that person who has, in my case, for my sister, never caught, but I know I would not feel better. I know some members of my family would feel great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, like you said, they'd like to be the ones to do the work on
yeah.
the person.
I'm very sorry to hear this. Before you go on, I just have to say I'm sorry that you lost someone to a situation, a murder that has never been solved.
No.
Jeez.
28 years now.
Oh my God.
But I've had to live with it for 28 years, and that time, you know, like you said, I have a thought-out response. My response is that I don't, as the family members, you know, the state is always pretending, I guess, that they're helping us,
right,
the victims' families. I would not feel better. It would not make me feel any better. It would not change how I would have to deal with it. And for that reason, I don't see it as a help to me to put someone to death. My only point is, and this is why I hold this little reserve, is, let's say in this case, this person is probably what I would consider a mass murderer.
Mm-hmm.
This person clearly has done that before and will do it again and probably has.
Mm-hmm.
To me, they are mass murderers, and I think that if they ever escaped, they would not stop. And so I wonder at that point, what do you do with this person? They are not, I don't know what to do with them, but my gut feeling is, it won't help me.
Mm-hmm.
I won't feel better.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to make a difference in what happened. And I don't really get any benefit out of seeing a person put to death.
Yeah.
And that's, I just thought I'd bring that up because,
well, it's a good point. And I think clinical, if that's the right word, studies of families who have lost a family member to a murderer, and that murderer is then executed by the state, when those people have been queried or questioned after a reasonable amount of time by sociologists, did it satisfy any feelings inside of you, such as loss of your relative or a sense of justice being done or revenge or vengeance? It seems to me that most of the people in the study or studies that I have read, and I can't cite them, had a feeling similar to what you feel would be your feeling. It doesn't complete the circle. It doesn't close the circle. It doesn't.
No, and I'm glad that I know this for myself.
Right.
You know, I know that. And so it gives me, but I just thought I'd give that perspective only because I do have some experience with this. And it's not a very helpful thing. And especially, I'm in Illinois, and we know how things went there.
Oh, my God,
it's so terrible that they could literally almost 13 people put to death who were not guilty of their crimes.
Who were literally innocent, yeah.
I mean, it is so hard for me to, I mean, to me, if I'm going to work, I'm going to work for a fair defense system for those, for defendants. And it's an unpopular situation, but that's really what has to be done. If you're going to impose the death penalty, you have got to make sure, I mean, as a state, that you have as much guarantee as you can that you've done everything you can to determine a person is guilty.
Yeah.
And they don't do it. And it's otherwise it's just a travesty.
Well, I certainly do respect your opinion, Jody.
Okay.
Especially given what you and your family have gone through. Thanks so much for checking in.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. You take care. Josh is calling from New York City. Hey, Josh. This your first time calling?
This is my first time calling. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing fine. Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much. I love the show. I love listening to you every night. It's such a wonderful place to collect your thoughts and to, have a consensus of some kind and not feel like you're going insane.
Well, thanks. It's kind of you to say that. I wish we could get on a radio station in New York City, but apparently this program is too liberal for New York City. Anyway, the reason
I have a proposition for you that may steer things a little ways away from the heart of the issue you're speaking of, not to demean the issue in any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
But you're talking about delusional, you're talking about psychotic, you're talking about these different ailments, people that believe in things that don't exist. And it reminds me of something else going on within our society right now. it reminds me of the Republic sheep out there, delusional, the crazy.
Yeah.
And I guess the proposition is, you know, if you could, you know, we've all discussed with these different people who disagree with, you know, with a certain humanity, a certain view upon humanity. And it would be so interesting to show these people the light. you know what I mean? Just for a few moments. Give them just a taste of it and then, you know, put them out of their misery. You know, and I'm listening to the issues you're speaking of. I can't help but think about that.
You're thinking of George Bush.
You bet I am, my friend.
Oh, my
God. You bet I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was also thinking as I was listening, a little thing popped into my head. You know, when what was Arnold's comment about where there's a fire, there's a match, where there's a storm.
Yeah, right. Where there's smoke, there's a Boy Scout or something.
There's smoke. I was thinking, you know, where there's a puddle, there's a leak.
Yeah, there is. There always is. Hey, Josh, tell your friends, all right?
I certainly will, and keep it up. Keep it up. I love listening. You crack me up, and it really is just a wonderful source. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thanks for checking in. We do appreciate it. Terry is calling from Petaluma, California. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Mike. Power to you.
Back at you, pal.
I just wanted to toss out something that's always struck me as it doesn't make economic sense to kill people. The last figures I could grab my hands on here were from 1964, the General Accounting Office. It cost $805,000 to keep a person in jail for 75 years average lifespan, and it cost about $2 million to execute them. So it's just not economically feasible.
Well, you know, the Republican the free market response to that is that the reason the cost is so high in an execution is because of all the delays. If we would go back to I don't know what the biblical idea, when someone is found guilty, immediately take them out behind the sentencing judge and beat them to death or choke them to death or kill them on the spot, then there's no cost. Last meal to hell, the last meal. Appeals, Supreme Court appeals, all the way to Supreme Court, if the case can be made on constitutional grounds. That's what the right wing tells you. Now, and they have attempted over and over and over again, and in some states have been successful in closing the window of appeal in saying, well, you've got 2 years from the time of your conviction. Most people who if not all people who go to death row are poor. They are for the most part uneducated, but rich people do not go to death row in this country. Let me change it. Rich people are not executed in this country. They may spend a period of time on death row. The idea that at the end of 2 years, if evidence is produced that without a doubt proves one's innocence, that evidence cannot be introduced because the clock has run out. This is insanity. This is beyond belief. But that's what the right wing wants to do. And their rationale or justification or utilitarian approach to this is exactly what you brought up, that it costs $2 million to execute somebody because of the delay. So let's kill them quicker. It's insane. I understand vengeance. I understand a surge of body chemicals that constitute revenge. I understand the urge to revenge. I've had five children, all of whom have made it well into adulthood. Had somebody raped or murdered or killed one of my children, I don't know if I could have handled the emotional surge. But that's the reason we have laws, simply because most of us could not handle that. And it would be a state of anarchy, a constant state of anarchy. If somebody kills mine, I will kill one of theirs or them. And that is not a definition of civilization. So while the individual pain of knowing my sister, my father, my child, my cousin has been brutally murdered brings about that surge of responses, we can't go there. We can't unless we want to agree to be not civilized. And you can make an argument for that too, I guess. Hey, Terry, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Bill in Lexington, Kentucky, has been holding on for, what's it been, over an hour now, Bill?
No, not that long. No. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir. How about you?
I'm doing great. Uncle George visit our fair city tomorrow.
Lexington, is he coming there for treatment? Do y'all still
I wish he was.
Y'all still have that federal heroin addict hospital up there, don't you?
Yeah. He needs to be there. He needs to be there. I wish he'd make a fat trip over there. But no, he's coming over here to...
Now, when is this? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah. He's coming into Lexington. He's going to speak on behalf of Ernie Fletcher.
Who is that? A local congressman?
Yeah, a local congressman. He's actually a U.S. representative.
Yeah.
He's running for governor.
Oh, yeah. So Bush is going to speak for him at a fundraiser, obviously.
At a fundraiser. Oh, yeah.
And in order for the taxpayers to pay for it, he's got to have a reason, a non-political reason for coming to Lexington. What is it? To talk about education?
No, he's going to talk about the war.
Oh, about the war. He's going to
tout the Iraqi weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, well, they're all over the place. Thank God they were found.
Oh, huh? God, yes. I'm just so thankful I have to work tomorrow afternoon. I don't have to see that guy on TV. And the media, oh, God. This town is so xenophobic, it's not even funny. But anyway, the recall election, I'm glad I don't live in Kentucky. I don't have to fool with California.
Yeah, well, is Kentucky one of the states that has a recall provision?
No.
Oh, okay.
But boy, you should hear Clear Channel in this city. They want to recall the mayor.
Why is it? She's a Democrat?
She wants to buy the water company from a German-owned...
make it a publicly owned utility again.
Right,
So Clear Channel, all
the Clear Channel and the conservative talk show host here just want to rat her out on a rail.
I hate him, Bill. I just hate him.
Oh, I do too. I think these guys are vile human beings.
Yeah.
They should be. I listen to the guy and I get so peeved off. I just want to throw the radio through the window or something like that.
You got to stop doing that. You got to stop listening.
You're right. I got to stop listening. I listen to you and I appreciate your show. And
thanks,
and,
Bill.
And I love doing internet research and sending you emails.
I appreciate everything you said. Bill, thanks for checking in tonight, Bill.
And you have a good evening, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, sir.
Compassionate conservative, don't know what it means. It's something we cooked up for press release. Texas leads the world in the death penalty.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free, and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for juicy gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffy nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. From the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Tom Hartman
Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Mike Malloy is rational, and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why
hate
don't
me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Yeah, Bill just called from Lexington. It's hard to keep, without last names. I know who that is now. Yeah, he sends me an awful lot of really good links to interesting stories, that some of which I actually use on the program. Hey, Bill? A lot of you folks do that, and I very much appreciate it. RadioPower.org's mistress... owner, whatever, Shelby LaPrey, just sent me the story about the FBI planted listening devices in the Philadelphia mayor's office, which I had, somebody else sent me that too, and I had pulled it off earlier this evening, and, maybe we'll get to it tonight, maybe we won't, but let me just share this with you very quickly. this is Jim, our music bureau chief, sent this to me. It's raptureletters.com. Yeah, there is, Kathy, you're going to love this. There is a website now that will set up a rapture letter for you to send to your, let me explain it. Here's what they say. The rapture, when all the believers in Jesus Christ who have been born again are taken up to heaven. After the rapture, there will be a lot of speculation as to why millions of people have just disappeared. Unfortunately, after the rapture, only non-believers will be left to come up with answers. You probably have family and friends that you have witnessed to, and they just won't listen. After the rapture, they probably will. But who will tell them? We have written a computer program to do just that. It will send an email to whomever you want after the rapture has taken place, and you and I have been taken to heaven. If you wish to do something now that will help your unbelieving friends and family after the rapture, you need to add those persons' email address to our database. Their names will be stored indefinitely, and a letter will be sent out to each of them on the first Friday after the rapture. Then they will receive another letter every Friday after that. This rapture letter service is free and will hopefully gain the person you send it to an eternity in heaven. If you would like to see one of the letters which will be sent after the rapture, click here. This is a personal ministry. If you have any questions or comments, please address them to yada yada. Thank you, and God bless you. You want to check this out? It's raptureletters.com. Yeah, okay. Every Friday? For what, eternity? Or what? I mean, the first Friday. They picked the Friday. Why Friday? Well, that's... Yeah, go ahead, Kathy. What?
I just want, will computers be working after Armageddon?
Well, no. There's a difference here between the rapture and Armageddon.
Well, doesn't
haven't
I know.
You haven't you read the Left Behind series? I put it on your nightstand.
You know, I'm too busy reading Richard Dawkins and Immanuel Kant to pick up that damn book.
There's nine of them on your nightstand now.
The
Left Behind series. You don't read those, huh? Okay.
Well, you get raptured, and then there's the battle, right?
The Armageddon thing, yeah.
Right. Okay. Well,
and then And then when the Christians win, they then kill all the Jews. That's why I don't understand, as I've said on this program God knows how many times, you'll pardon the pun, why folks of the Jewish faith support Christian fundamentalists. Because the Christian fundamentalists are going to kill every one of you, except the those of you who say, oh, hey, we're just kidding, we really love Jesus. Crazy. Thanks, Jim. I needed that. I needed a little break. An email that will come the first Friday after the rapture, unless it's a leap year. go figure. Huh? At least they could have made it on the Sabbath, made it Saturday. Oh, no, wait. For the Christians, that's Sunday, right? Or something. I don't know. So on the first Friday after the rapture, I'm sorry, I just cannot take any of it seriously. If there is a Christian hell, I have a spot reserved for me, too, trust me. But I'll take my chances, I guess. All right, your phone calls when we come back. Plus, I've just got some other things I got to talk about. Oh, well, there's always Thursday and Friday, right? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm hearing I'm starting to get old. Feels like I'm starting all over again.
I pray a lot for families who've lost a life. I went to Walter Reed, was struck by the braveness of our soldiers, and prayed for them and their families.
Isn't it bravery? Is there such a thing as braveness?
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
It's week two of a strike of Chicago's trash collectors, and only the city's rat population is happy. Uncollected trash began piling up outside apartment homes and businesses September 30th as waste haulers with the city's private trash collection agencies went on strike. Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley has vowed to sue the Chicago Area Refuse Haulers Association, the Teamsters Union, or possibly both, over the dispute. Yesterday, a federal mediator joined talks after trash collectors overwhelmingly rejected management's latest contract offer.
Bechtel Corporation, a construction contractor with more than $600 million worth of building contracts in Iraq, is being sued by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission for discriminating against an Iraqi-American worker. The man, originally from Michigan, was working at a Bechtel facility in New Jersey 2 years ago during the terrorist attacks on New York and Washington, D.C. After those incidents, the man was constantly harassed by other Bechtel workers and was even beaten up a few times. The EEOC says the company did nothing to stop it, instead firing the man after he complained.
Former Washington, D.C. Teachers Union Chief Barbara Bullock pled guilty yesterday in a federal court to charges of mail fraud and conspiracy. During her 8-year tenure, Bullock used her union's coffers as a personal piggy bank, spending as much as $2.5 million of dues money on luxury items, furniture, and cosmetics. She faces up to 10 years in prison and $500,000 in fines.
Good news for 2,600 current and former employees of Sodexo Marriott Services. On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court dismissed Sodexo Marriott's challenge to their class action lawsuit. The workers, who are all non-white, claim rampant racial discrimination in the housekeeping and food service giant's promotion practices.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
27 before the hour. Hey, before we come back to your phone calls, I got to share this with you. This is from the British press, as these sorts of things always are. Maybe the American press will pick up on it, but I doubt it. Here's what it says. For at least 10 years, David Kay, right, the head of the so-called Iraq Survey Group, you know, the 1,400-person-strong Find the Weapons of Mass Destruction team, David Kay. For at least 10 years, David Kay has staked his professional and business reputation on the case that Iraq was a serious threat. See, David Kay, it's not just been since Bush gave him this mission. It's been for a decade. As the Independent of the UK says, he was a frequent pundit on U.S. television shows, making the case for regime change in blunt language. He called the attempt by Kofi Annan, UN Secretary General, to broker an effective inspection process in 1998, quote, worse than useless, close quote. Kay claimed in 2002 that Iraq was pursuing its weapons of mass destruction in order to bring about the elimination of the State of Israel, and said before entering Iraq that the coalition would find not just a smoking gun, but a smoking arsenal. Well, guess what?
Yeah, you're way ahead of me. I know you are.
Until last October, Mr. Kay was the vice president of a major San Diego, California-based defense contractor, Science Applications International Corporation, SAIC, coordinating its homeland security and counterterrorism initiatives. See, they had their hands in both. It was while he held this role that he claimed that Iraq could launch terrorist attacks on the U.S. mainland. Duh! Gee, I wonder why. SAIC was in the headlines earlier this year when it was revealed that the U.S. government had given it a contract 3 years ago to produce mobile biological vans for training purposes. Until February, SAIC's corporate vice president was Christopher Ryan Henry, who is now a senior policy official at the, oh, here's a surprise, Pentagon! SAIC spokesman acknowledged earlier this year that the company is deeply involved in the current war in Iraq, including its role in leading a $650 million contract for services and support for the U.S. Army. On and on it goes. This is war profiteering. At a different time in this country, these people would have been jailed. At a different time in other countries, these people would have been executed. It's astonishing. Well, Rummy had something to say about it at the DOD briefing a couple of days ago. This is I Know Nothing. This is Rumsfeld, who, by the way, is on his way out. Are you aware of that? But this is a few days ago. I Know Nothing. I Run Nothing. The reporter says, Mr. Secretary David Kay reportedly is telling closed-door sessions of the Congress today that it's possible that Saddam Hussein did not have chemical nor bacteriological weapons when U.S. forces invaded, that he may have tried to pull a huge bluff, Saddam, and stall our forces. Is that true? And do you feel the same way?
answered that question 15 times. You know what the answer is. David Kay is proceeding in an orderly way. I'll take it from the top if you want. He has a large hundreds of people working on this activity. He is reporting through the Central Intelligence Agency. He is, for the first time, back for an interim discussion with the members of the Intelligence Committee. He's presented a report that I've got up there but have not had a chance to read, nor have I talked to anybody who's had a chance to read it.
So the whole damn government. Nobody's read the report. Well, the part you left out, though, Rummy, is the fact that David Kay is a war profiteer and part of the military-industrial complex that absorbed your ass and spit you out so that you could cause more death and destruction on this planet, and is going to reabsorb you when you are run out of the Bush crime family's government. So, just once, Rummy, is it possible just once, ever, that you could tell the truth? I don't think so. I don't think so. All right, now one more here, and I want you to hear this, and we're coming back to your calls. Rumsfeld, again, said, when was this, Kathy? Yesterday, that he had not been told by George Bush or the National Security Council that the White House was to restructure the handling of post-war Iraq. He wasn't told before the media were briefed on the plan by NSA officials. What's happened here, Rumsfeld has become a liability for the Bush crime family because he licks his lips too much about death and destruction. He's too blatant. It's not that he's not a team player. He's a great team player for the Bush crime family. He is a murderous son of a bitch. But he licks his lips too much in public. He is too quick to disrespect and disregard American soldiers. He is too quick to step on the graves of soldiers who have been misled into think that they're fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. In other words, he is a war-loving, filthy punk. And he is so bad that the Bush crime family, the higher-ups, the Karl Roves and the Dick Cheneys and the Louis Libbys and the Andrew Cards are beginning to realize that Rumsfeld is a liability. Now, given the fact that loyalty with these bastards run one way, and no surprise there, Rumsfeld is on his way out. What they did was restructure the way the situation in Iraq is going to be handled. It's no longer going to be handled, at least on paper, by Rumsfeld. It's going to be handled by, oh my God, Condoleezza Rice, who is the head of the National Security Council. Now, the NSC allegedly coordinates foreign policy in the White House, but Condoleezza Rice is probably the dumbest NSC staff person, the dumbest national security advisor ever, unless maybe during Gerald Ford or Ronald Reagan's administration. She is really just an absolute empty-headed person who's advising somebody, Bush? I don't know. Anyway, in an interview with the Financial Times and three European news organizations, Rumsfeld insisted that this new role for the NSC is really nothing more than reshuffling, just shuffling things around a little bit. This is why he's trying to cover up the acute embarrassment. Now, if we were in a parliamentary form of government and Rumsfeld were the Minister of Defense, he would resign because it has been made very clear to him now by George W. Bush's mouth, not Bush. Bush can't think beyond the next Game Boy that he's going to play. But through George Bush's mouth, the policies of Richard Perle, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, and Louis Libby, those policies now are that Rumsfeld has to go. So again, if he were the Minister of Defense instead of the Secretary of Defense, he would resign and go into private, he would go into the war business. But he can't resign. You see, not yet. But he is on his way out. He's on his way out. Now, Bush, regarding all this, Bush was with the president of Kenya the other day, Monday. And a reporter steps up and says, Mr. Bush, what is the purpose of this new Iraq stabilization group, this thing to be headed by Condoleezza Rice? And is this an acknowledgement that the effort to stabilize Iraq is flagging? Does it diminish the authority of Secretary Rumsfeld?
You know, it's common for the National Security Council to coordinate efforts, interagency efforts. And Connie Rice, the National Security Advisor, is doing just that. And this group formed within the National Security Council is aimed at the coordination of interagency efforts, as well as providing a support group for the Department of Defense and Jerry Bremer. That's the purpose.
That wasn't the question, jackass. Oh, never mind. I just thought we just thought we'd toss that one in tonight just to let you know that I don't know who else is talking about it, but we're talking about it here. Rumsfeld has become an absolute liability. Again, it's because he licks his lips too much. He's a public lick. I can't say it. He's a public lip licker. You know what I mean. He's just all the time going, oh, more death and more destruction, more oil. I'm Rumsfeld. I run things. You know, Department of Defense, the PNAC, the advisory board that my buddy Richard Pearl and everybody sits on. You know, it's that lick lipping or lip licking. Never mind. Wally is calling from Delaware. Hey, Wally.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
Hey, just nothing but the rent, pal.
A couple quick things, then you need to take care of my psyche. First of all, you know what Schwarzkopf said about Rumsfeld?
Oh, no, what'd he say?
He loves war just a little too much.
Oh, yeah?
And Condi Rice, amazingly incompetent, even for a Chevron shill. She's a nightmare, too.
Oh, incredibly so. But show me someone who is competent in this administration, really.
Yeah. And that goes for Colin Powell, too.
Oh, geez.
Mike, I need you to promise me the way Babe Ruth promised that little kid that he was going to hit the home run.
Yeah,
that Chris Matthews will burn in hell. Please promise, Mike.
I do promise. Chris Matthews, I understand, and Bill O'Reilly are devout Catholics. And devout Catholics are as sure of hell as you are that you're on a telephone right now. Okay? There is no question in the minds of devout Catholics, especially right-wing Catholics like O'Reilly and Chris Matthews, that there is a hell. And yes, I will give you that guarantee. They are both going to hell. Now, what brought this up?
Well, you know, we have little arguments about this all the time. I'd say Matthews is worse than some of the rank and file wing nuts because at one time he knew different. He knew better.
Yeah.
He was shameless. Well, even for him, the way he was pimping big time for the Gropinator.
Yeah, wasn't that? I think he wants. I don't know. Maybe he wants Arnie to run his hands up Chris Matthews' pants leg. I get the feeling.
Remember, he said President Bush looked like $1 million in those cowboy jeans.
He did. You know, there are so many white conservatives who really, no offense here to all of our gay listeners, but who are really a closeted gays. They and if they would just come out, everybody would be much happier.
G. Gordon Liddy studying that bulge on the aircraft. Carrier.
That's very true. That's very true. Thanks, Wally.
Delightful talking to you, Miguel.
Yes, always my pleasure. Always my pleasure. No, I'm certainly not intending that to be some sort of a slur to say that they're closeted homosexuals, some of them. Whatever your sexual orientation is, it was given to you or you chose it as an act of divinity. I mean, that's how you're linked to the cosmic flow through your sexuality, right? Which is part of your spirituality. You understand what I'm saying? That's kind of the link. What irritates me beyond belief, though, are homophobes who will do anything to disrespect a fellow human being who happens to be gay when they themselves are fighting what they consider to be the demon of homosexuality raging around inside of them. And when I see, it's very rare, but when you see Chris Matthews laugh, I don't know, there's something weird. Some of these people just don't have the ability to laugh. When they do laugh, it's more like, I don't know, what? Weird, bizarre. It doesn't look like a laugh. What does it look like? A sneer. No, beyond a sneer. A vocal sneer. You know, a sneer with sound effects. Is that what? Something. But Wally's right. I mean, Chris Matthews was doing for the Gropinator the other night. I know you're tired of hearing this. What Monica did for Bill Clinton, right on national television. I guess MSNBC's national television. But it was just, I don't know how he pronounced his vowels. He was going at it so intensely. Yeah, never mind. Jeff is calling from Greekville, PA. There's a Greekville?
No, it's Grapeville.
Oh, grape.
Yeah, as in the wine.
Oh, I thought it was. Yeah. Well, I can't. I don't know. Kathy's been hitting the cough medicine out here or something.
Well, I can understand. It's truly been a red letter day.
Yes, it has.
I was so despondent when I woke up this morning and I saw on today some of these people in California saying why they voted for Arnold the Gropinator.
Isn't it astonishing?
I was dumbfounded. I just could not understand this.
I don't get it either. I mean, the reasons for doing it. I heard some of the sound bites. Well, I thought I would vote for him because he's fun. We heard a woman say it, didn't we, Kathy?
Yeah.
That was on NPR coming into work.
He's a strong person.
No, that's what his character was. You know, his movie character was a strong person.
And I just couldn't take it anymore. I saw the level of shock mm-hmm. when I was looking at BuzzFlash. And normally you see stories coming up every 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there was nothing new coming up. It's like the whole world is stunned by this.
I know. I know.
I said, okay, I've got to go buy my groceries. Next thing I'm going to do is go buy a fresh bottle of scotch. and I got back and I fired off 3 or 4 letters to editors of papers in California trying to remind the people of California when energy deregulation became a de facto
right.
in California, and
mm-hmm.
and there's on CNN.com a nice picture of Pete Wilson signing the papers to deregulate energy. And
well, like Greg Palast pointed out in his story that came out about a week before the election, and as people have suggested in emails to me and other places, all the Democrats had to do was just publish or put out on a flyer Greg Palast's story. Here's a guy, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was backed by Enron that and Ken Lay, that put the state of California into the financial crisis it's in, and people voted for him. They voted for their own executioner. It's
absolutely.
Just, it's mind-boggling. Hello, ding, 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 mind-boggling.
Well, I hope California has a nice time floating off to the ocean because, you know, it's hard to consider them a part of the country anymore.
Well, you know, but on the other hand, are they any less, more or less astute politically or more or less informed than, say, the people in, Tennessee, who voted for George Bush in 2000 because the NRA told them that Al Gore, if elected president, would show up on the doorsteps and demand their guns.
Yeah.
So, you know, no state in this union has an exclusive franchise on political asininity or stupidity or just blank stares. It was just last night was California's turn. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, you know, the state I'm in turned Republican last year, and
I know.
And I'm in blue collar Rust Belt.
Vote for your executioner.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Always good to hear from somebody in Greekville. I'm sorry. I know it's Greekville.
I thank you for being there.
Take care, sir.
Take it easy.
All right.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissue.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel feel fine, but you're coughing all the time. And it's waking up your sister, Simply Cough.
Simply Cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing Simply Cough.
Simply Cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Tune in to IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
That's the Tom Hartman program right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Radio Free Speed Zone.
Welcome one and all. Tony Truppiano with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everything is well where you're at. It is okie dokie where I sit.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins and Peter Lawford.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Whoa.
All right, we're almost out of time, but I think we can squeeze Patrick in, who's calling from Owensboro, Kentucky. Pat, you got about a minute and a half.
Yeah, Mike, now I'm being told that Arnold is left of center compared to Ventura. And like Jesse, he's a fiscal conservative and a social liberal.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing Arnold has programs in mind, like Jesse, do nothing. Now I'm being told that because Arnold was married into the Kennedy family, that he will not be in with the Bush crime family. He had Kennedy strategists help him in his campaign, that he won't make it for his run for president, that Arnold isn't just another Ronald Reagan, I hear. And I just don't believe it.
Well, first, if he's going to run for president, like Orrin Hatch seems to be wetting his pants to see that happen, they're going to have to pass an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Yeah, that'll happen. There is an element in for me, the geek factor, the look at the train wreck alongside the road factor. I will be curious to see what Arnold Schwarzenegger does for the people of California and how they respond to this this movie actor as their chief executive. It's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's all I got to say. Hey, thanks for checking in, Pat. We're just about out of time, sir. Thanks. I appreciate it. Sorry. How long is Patrick holding on? About half an hour? There's no justice on this program. None whatsoever. Some people hold on some nights for like 45 minutes and we don't get to them. Oh, it's awful. Is it time to go yet? Are we just about out of... I think we are. We're close enough. Program engineered in Detroit by Jay Bilecki tonight. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. You can play music if you want to. You don't want to play any music? Robin Bittman announces for us. Mucho thanks to Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com, our webmaster, and all of our militant mods at MikeMalloy.com. If you haven't gone to the website, please go. Check it out. Get registered. Play. It's fun. There's some bloodletting that goes on there. Our moderators try to keep it under control. But, you know, check it out. And as always, a big thanks to Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Who am I leaving out? I guess that's it, right? Okay. I'll see y'all tomorrow night, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do being on the tractor as much time as I do or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show.